Good morning, Agape Unplugged. And Happy New Year, yes. Happy New Year. Welcome. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we want to thank you. You are precious to us and your commands are precious to us. Help us this morning to clarify the vision that you have for this church and instill us, Lord God, with a passion for it and the courage to walk in it. Glorify your name this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In an episode of the old Seinfeld TV show, George Costanza, a short, stocky, balding man who struggles with several insecurities, decides to set up his own charity. And because he doesn't support any causes other than himself, he creates this very vague shell organization called the Human Fund. And it's got a slogan, Money for People. And he promotes this fake cause on a special occasions, like birthdays and Christmas and the fake holiday Festivus, by giving cards to his co-workers that state that he has given a donation in their name to the Human Fund, Money for People. And as he promotes the Human Fund, he finds out that people are generally pretty happy to be associated with this very nice-sounding organization. I mean, people like being a part of something that makes them feel good. They like being a part of something that is comfortable for them. But this can be dangerous for us and distracting from what we're called to do as followers of Jesus Christ, especially in the culture in which we live. If we're honest and aware, we've got to admit that we can feel the crunching of the social eggshells beneath our feet when we walk. And as we strive, friends, to live as Christians in this world, we have a choice to make. Are we going to make people feel comfortable? Or are we going to make disciples? Because essentially, that's the decision that has to be made when it comes to who's your one. Who's your one, who's your crew, as Molly just mentioned, is a rally cry for Agape Chicago this year. And where the second half of this rally cry, who's your crew, is somewhat of an echo chamber for things that you already believe, who's your one asks you to go and to make disciples and to teach the commands of Jesus to someone who doesn't already believe in Jesus. And yes, there are thoughtful and winsome ways to reach out to people so that they're both comfortable and become disciples. But this morning isn't about technique. This morning is about the big picture and making you a little more comfortable with running the risk of making other people uncomfortable as you look for your who's your one. And to that end, I want to take a look at the words of Jesus in the Great Commission and Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. It's in your bulletin. The Great Commission is the heart of who's your one. And we can be encouraged with courage as we're spurred on by it to the love and the good work of spreading the gospel. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20 reads, I'm going to throw in verses 16 and 17. I won't charge you for that. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Great Commission. The disciples had witnessed Jesus' arrest, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and all hope seemed to have been lost. But now here he is, quite alive, risen from the dead, a victor over death, and he is commissioning them to go out and proclaim this victory to the world. And we can see a few things in the Great Commission that should give us both courage and encouragement as we search for our who's your one. First, we can be encouraged that Jesus has all authority. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." The entire book of Matthew stresses the authority of Jesus. There was his authority to his teaching in Matthew chapter 7. There was authority in healing in Matthew chapter 8. There was authority in forgiving sins in Matthew chapter 9. There was the authority he delegated to his apostles in Matthew chapter 10. And here in the Great Commission, Jesus makes it clear that he has all authority. And since Jesus has all authority, we can obey him without fear, no matter where he leads us or what circumstances we face, no matter what. Jesus is in control. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus defeated all of his enemies and won for himself all authority. And the Lord's death on the cross was a death on the cross for the whole world. And since God loves the whole world and is not willing that any should perish, by default, friends, our faith then is a missionary faith, a faith that reaches out to others on the Lord's sovereign authority. When do you doubt the most? That's a rhetorical question. Is it when your leaders ask you to do something that involves changing your schedule or using your money or risking your job or family relationships, or when they ask you to talk to someone about Jesus? I mean, your hesitation is really an expression of doubt. But when you move forward anyway, that's an expression of your faith. That's what we're asking you to do this morning. Because it's that faith, friend, which expresses Jesus' authority and initiates the release of God's power to carry out his will, to accomplish his purposes for which he works his power in us, and to fulfill the task of the Great Commission. People want salvation. They're looking for it in a myriad of human solutions that they unsuccessfully bring to bear upon spiritual problems. You have authority in Christ to bring to bear the gospel on any and every situation in life. We can be encouraged that Jesus has all authority. Second thing we see in the Great Commission is that Jesus directs us to reach out to all nations. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. The command is to make disciples of all nations. The action is to go, meaning going in the present, meaning always going, meaning going even now. It's active. Jesus' kingdom, friends, is made of all kinds of people. With his blood, Revelation 5:9, he ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Revelation 7:9. A great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. This is the power of the gospel. Speaking of human solutions for spiritual problems, the issue of race is a mess in our society today. And the more we try to fix it, the worse it gets. Reaching out and drawing in all nations through the gospel prepares us in the present for a future which believes and has from every nation, tribe, and people and language someone represented. I love Ephesians 2:14 for this. The Bible says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier and the dividing wall of hostility." Can you imagine our world without our racial issues? And making disciples, I mean, that's right up our who's your one alley, isn't it? By definition, a disciple is a follower, one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another. So a Christian disciple is a person who accepts and assists in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a process, friends, by which people, by which disciples grow in the Lord Jesus, are equipped by the Holy Spirit to overcome the trials and the temptations and the tribulations of this present life, while all the while becoming more and more like Jesus Christ every day. And biblically, we can see the profound effect that one person can have upon another. Remember Jethro, father of Moses, the influence he had over Moses. Jonathan had influence over David. Elijah had influence over Elisha. Daniel over King Darius of Persia. Jesus over the Samaritan woman at the well. And that thing led to the revival in an entire village. Disciples over the New Testament Christians going house to house, connecting, breaking bread. Paul, Timothy, right? You think about it, Luke and Theophilus. Luke wrote the book of Acts to inform Theophilus. Frankly, even Satan goes for the each one teach one. Delilah, Samson, right? But being a disciple and making disciples is hard work. People want it, but they don't want to put in the time and the effort to be or to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Here's what many of us do in our walk. We audit the Christian life. I don't know whether you know what that is, but an audit is where you go to class, you get the information, but you're not required to do any of the work. You don't have to do classwork. You don't have to do homework. You don't have to take any tests. You're only attending for informational purposes. You want the information, but you just don't want the responsibility. That's an audit. Lots of folks do that every Sunday. They audit Jesus. They audit the Christian life. Auditing is not on our who's your one radar. No matter where we're coming from, no matter where we are, no matter where we're going to, we are to be disciples, we are to be witnesses, and we are to be seeking disciples for Jesus Christ. And friends, each and every one of us is vital to God's program in the Great Commission, seeking to win others, no matter what tribe or language or people or nation they're from. Embracing difference. Jesus directs us to reach out to all nations. Third, when we reach, we are to teach all that Jesus commands. Matthew 28:20, "Therefore go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded." Discipleship requires that you respond to the unction of the Holy Spirit and examine your thoughts in words and deeds and compare them with the Word of God. What does this require? Well, this requires that you be in the Word, studying it daily, praying over it, and being obedient to it, or at least striving to be obedient to it. And of course, the purpose of all this is to spread the Word, spread the truth, spread the gospel, and to disciple others to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ. Jesus called 12 disciples and taught them so that they would be able to reach out and teach others, i.e. disciple others. A disciple is one who has believed on Jesus Christ, has expressed their faith by being baptized, by staying in fellowship with other believers, and going out to draw others in and teaching them to do the very same thing. When we reach, we are to teach all that Jesus commands. Here's the fourth thing that we get from the Great Commission. Jesus is with us for all days. Matthew 28:20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Today, our culture is clearly reflecting how horribly bent fallen humanity is. And it's really sad to see that we're living out many a biblical warning. Evil is called good. Fraud is called justice. Theft on a grand scale is called taxes. Egocentricity is being an influencer. Racism is called anti-racism. Men are called women. Pedophilia is now called minor attracted persons. Hatred is tolerance. Violence is justice. And profanity is the new free speech. The gospel, the Great Commission, and the gospel within the Great Commission, friends, will be met with hostility. Jesus said in Matthew 13:19, the evil one comes and snatches away the truth that was sown in their hearts. But he also said, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. That Jesus will show himself to us is a reminder that he is with us for all days till the end of days. Listen, the gospel, friends, doesn't get old. You're on the right side of history. I love the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 26. From one man he made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. The Lord is here. The Lord is at work. The Great Commission involves fishing for souls. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Great Commission is described as sowing seeds in the parable of the sower. The Great Commission is how the blessing of Abraham is extended to all people. And the Great Commission, friends, should define our vision and our work. And the question is, does it? Well, let's look at our church on the whole. Let's look at our mission. The outflow of the Great Commission in our church is expressed this way. Agape Chicago, inviting Chicago to feast on the love of Jesus. And the foundation of this mission to invite is captured by what we call our table values. There's three of them. Table value one, renewing gospel. It's the message that God has made peace with humanity through Jesus and has given us his victory over our enemies, sin, death, and Satan. Table value two is embracing difference. It's reflecting the desire of Christ for difference in his body by reflecting the difference in our neighborhood, every tribe, tongue, and nation. Table value three, multiplying disciples. All Christians are disciples and ought lead others to obey Jesus. And all of that is wrapped in our three loves. Our first love is Jesus, who we meet in Scripture and in prayer, and whose Spirit produces fruit in our lives. Our second love is church, where we serve here, where we collaborate together, where we give for the glory of God. And our third love is the great city of Chicago, where we invest and participate and proclaim the glories of Christ. Now, those are the overarching, undergirding layers upon which Who's Your One and Who's Your Crew is presently being played out at our church, all on the foundation of the Great Commission, with all authority in Jesus, all nations invited, and all that is commanded, taught, and strived for, because Jesus is with us all days. Listen, if you're not born again, you need to give your life and trust your heart to Jesus right now. Take the following steps. Admit you're a sinner, that you can't save yourself, and turn away from your sins. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was raised to life with victory over death. Confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Renounce your past way of life. Renounce your relationship with the devil. Renounce your works of iniquity. I love that word, it's sin. And invite Jesus into your life. And as a mark of seriousness to mature in the faith, start going to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Now listen, if you can't give them that message, if all you have is the shrapnel of the gospel, you get them in here. Not forgetting that your call is not to get somebody to church, but to give them the message. You get them in here. And we'll give them the message. In John chapter 1, verse 35, John chapter 1, verses 35 through 46, I'll read that for you. I'll close with this. 1:35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." That was John the Baptist. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas." The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip followed, found Nathanael, and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Nazareth Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. I mean, talk about who's your one. Jesus called John, and John followed the Lord. John reached Andrew, and Andrew followed the Lord. Andrew reached Peter, and Peter followed the Lord. Jesus called Philip, and Philip followed the Lord. Philip reached Nathanael, and Nathanael followed the Lord. Each of the disciples were reached by one, and each of them continued to reach one. And from this, the word of God was preached through the entire area and ultimately around the world. I mean, honestly, without the Great Commission and the gospel we're called to spread, you know what? We have no message without the gospel. We have no mission without the gospel. Friends, we have no church. We're just a social club. We're the human fund. So I ask, for whose salvation will you pray most fervently this year? Who is the person you most want to encourage this year? Who is it? That's your, who's your one? Go. Make disciples. And if each one of us looked for him or her in the same way we look and hope and pine for a romantic one, what would Agape Chicago look like at this time next year? There's encouragement right there. There's courage right there. There's why the Great Commission is the heart of who's your one. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you that you inspire us by your Spirit and load us with your grace to do your bidding. Help our ears to be sensitive to who, and help our wills be active to approach that who that you sent to us, and explode their heart with your love and draw them close to you in a way that reflects that they glory in your name and enjoy you immensely. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.